Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 6, The Activities of Lord Rishabhdev, Text 14. Aho nu vamsho vashashavasadataha prayavrato yatra puman puranaha kritavataraha purushaha sa adyas chachara dharmam yad akarma hetum. Aho nuvam sho yashashavadataha prayavarto yatra puman puranaha kritavatara purusha saadyash chachara dharmam yadakarma hetum. Aho nuvam sho yashashasvadataha prayavrato yatra puman puranaha kritavatara purusha saadyas chachara dharmam yad akarma hetum. Aho nuvam sho yashashavadataha prayavrato yatra puman puranaha kritavatara purusha saadyas chatara dharmam yadakarma hetum. Vayagrata yatra paman vidara Vaishnavis, Aho, oh, nu, indeed, Vamsaha, the dynasty, Yashasa, with widespread fame, Avadataha, fully pure, Priyavrata, related to King Priyavrata. Yatra, wherein, Puman, the Supreme Person, Puranaha, the original, Krita Avataraha, descended as an incarnation, Purusha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Saha, he, Adiha, the original person, Chachara, executed. Dharma, religious principles. Yat, from which? Akarmahetum, the cause of the end of fruitive activities. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Please repeat. Oh, what shall I say of the dynasty of Priyavrata, which is pure and very much celebrated? In that dynasty, the Supreme Person, the original personality of Godhead, descended as an incarnation and executed religious principles that could free one from the results of fruitive activity. Purport. There are many dynasties in human society wherein the Supreme Lord descends as an incarnation. Lord Krishna appeared in the Yadu dynasty, and Lord Ramachandra appeared in the Ikshvaku or Raghu dynasty. Similarly, Lord Rishabhadev appeared in the dynasty of King Priyavrata. All these dynasties are very famous, and of them, the dynasty of Priyavrata is most famous. Om Vijnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam hi dharmasya tadat manam shrijamyaham. Well, Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that when there is a decline in religious principles, he descends to this world as an avatar. Krishna eternally exists in the spiritual world, but he can also, while maintaining his position in the spiritual world, appear in the material world, Goloka Eva Nivasyat Akilatma Bhuto. Krishna is eternally present in the spiritual world, in Goloka Vrindavan, and in his different expansions in the Vaikuntha planets. But without leaving those places, he can also simultaneously manifest his eternal spiritual form within the material universes. We're existing in one of the many millions and millions of material universes, and Krishna periodically appears in our universe. Why does he do that? Parichanaya sadunam vinashaya chatushkritam dharma samstatranartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. So Krishna appears in the material universe in order to rescue or save his devotees or inspire them. He comes to cut down or destroy the demoniac forces if they become too strong, too powerful. And he comes to establish true religious principles. And why is that? Because this world has a purpose. It's not as the modern materialistic scientists say that the universe is just an accident. Life just happened by spontaneous combination of chemical elements, and once the first living thing was there, there was a process of evolution, a blind, unguided process of evolution by which different species came about, just totally by accident. There's no rhyme or reason to it. And Krishna actually explains in the Bhagavad Gita 16th chapter that the essence of this philosophy. He explains, Sasatyam apratishtam te jagat ahur anishvaram aparasprasam bhutam kimanya kamahai tukam. Yes, that there's a philosophy. It existed even in Krishna's time. And that matter is the only thing that exists. Matter combines in its own way. It produces different kinds of life forms just on its own by combining matter in very complex ways. And what this really means is there's no real purpose to the universe. There's no purpose to life. Asatyam apratishtam te jagat ahur nishram. There's no controller to impose any laws. So that means we're free just to do whatever we like. What's the purpose of human life? Whatever we say, whatever we want to do. But that's not the actual situation. The actual situation is this material universe was created for a specific purpose. It is controlled by a supreme intelligence. And we are here for a specific purpose, to attain spiritual realization, God consciousness, to go back home, back to Godhead, to go back to our original home in the spiritual world. This is the actual purpose of the universe. This is the purpose of human life, atato brahma jigyasa. Now is the time to inquire about the absolute truth. But not everyone understands these things. There are two types of personalities within the material universe. Daivasura. So the daivas, the divine people, they understand what the real purpose of human life is. And they organize their societies. They organize their lives to carry out that purpose, spiritual advancement, going back home, back to Godhead. Then there are the asuras, who have the opposite idea, that their purpose in life is to gratify their material senses until death. You know, Krishna explains this in the Divine and the Demoniac Natures, chapter 16 of the Bhagavad Gita. There are some people, they think, yes, let me gratify my senses until death, because there's nothing more than that. So, when the divine people, when the Daiva people are in the majority and are arranging the society, then people can make spiritual progress. But when the asuras, those who are against the divine principles, become very prominent in society, become the leaders of society, it messes up the whole thing. Therefore, periodically, Krishna comes to uphold the Daiva people, the divine people, to put down the demoniac people, and to establish religious principles so that society can run in such a way that people satisfy their material necessities in the simplest, most natural and efficient way possible, while at the same time making spiritual progress, which is the actual purpose of human life. And spiritual progress, of course, means devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Jivaras Rupahoi Krishnair Nityadas. The living entity is constitutionally a servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So human life is meant for that purpose, to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And if this is disturbed, then Krishna comes to this world to set things right. So usually, when Krishna comes to this world, he appears in a family of Kshatriyas, a royal dynasty. You know, people are, you know, even today, people are very attracted to royal dynasties. I like the Princess Diana or this. You know, if somebody hears that some king or queen is visiting, they become a little excited. You know, they want to meet such personalities. They like to see them. But unfortunately, these personalities these days, there's still many royal dynasties all over the world. Actually, a good many of the countries in the world are still technically ruled by royal dynasties. You know, there's the English royal family, which technically is the head of state of, you know, the Queen is the head of state of not only the United Kingdom, but also, you know, Australia, New Zealand, Canada, a few other places. Then there's also, you know, many of the other European countries like the Netherlands and Belgium and most of the Scandinavian countries, they have, you know, they have royal dynasties. There's many of the Islamic countries, you know, they have kings and things like that. But they're not really instructed in how to organize society in such a way that people can make advancement towards pure devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in, you know, the times, you know, that we're speaking of here, actually these royal dynasties were there, and Krishna himself was appearing in these royal dynasties to establish religious principles. So in those days, the actual heads of society, you know, the actual leaders, were the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his different incarnations, like Krishna, Rishabhdev, Priyavrata, you know, like, or they were devotees, you know, like Yudhisthira and Maharaj Parikshit, Maharaj Yudhisthira, others. These were the actual leaders of society. So they were arranging society in such a way as to promote devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know, that was the situation in those days. And the intellectual leaders of society were great sages, like Narada Muni, Srila Vyasadeva. These were the most prominent persons, the most prominent intellectual leaders. So the government leaders, the intellectual leaders, they were either incarnations of the Personality of Godhead, or they were devotees, pure devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you know, the political leaders, the intellectual leaders. So that was the situation in those times. Now we're in a different time. The leaders, the political and intellectual leaders of society today are not the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His pure devotees. It's actually quite the opposite. But still, in this day and age, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has come in the form of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he did not take his birth. He did not appear in a royal dynasty, as is usually the case when Krishna comes in his different incarnations. He appeared in a family of brahmanas. And the area that he appeared in was ruled by a Muslim king. Of course, there were still other kings around in Jagannath Puri. There was, you know, a Vaishnava king. That was good. But Lord Chaitanya was showing by example, you know, how to be a devotee in the age of Kali, where, you know, the prominent government and intellectual leaders are not incarnations of Godhead and or pure devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, like, he had to lead a civil disobedience movement, because in Navadvip, where he was manifesting his pastimes, the government leaders and the intellectual leaders tried to interfere with the Sankirtan movement. So he had civil disobedience against that. And he conducted his Sankirtan movement under those conditions. And he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So today, yeah, we're in a similar position. We're not living in a society where the political and intellectual leaders are incarnations of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and his pure devotees. So we have to function in the same sort of environment that Lord Chaitanya himself, you know, had to function in. Kalayar dosha nidhi rajan astihek mahad gunan kirtanadeva krishnasya mukta sangam param vajet. So it doesn't... This age of Kali is an age of faults. A lot of bad things about it. One of the bad things about it being that the so-called political and intellectual leaders of society are not, you know, pure devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead or incarnations of Godhead. In many ways, they are they don't understand, you know, the real principles of religion. So, you know, sometimes they put up obstacles to the practice of pure devotional service in human society. And they encourage people in all kinds of sinful activities, and they propagate through their education systems all kinds of wrong ideas about what this world is and what the purpose of human life really is. So it's a difficult situation, but the holy name is still there. The Sankirtan movement is still there. And, you know, by following in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya, you know, we can make progress in spiritual lives despite all the difficulties of this age. And even Srila Prabhupada would say sometimes that this movement is actually powerful enough to change the whole world. A lot depends on us. Once Prabhupada told his disciples, he said, yes, Krishna could give you the whole world in 18 days. But what would you do with it? So actually, if we became very sincere and pure and dedicated, the sky's the limit. Actually, it could take place even within the Kali Yuga that once more, you know, the political and intellectual leaders of human society could be pure devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we can see what the results of that would be when we look, at the Srimad Bhagavatam and the accounts of what human civilization was like. Of course, it's not that the material world is always the material world, and there are always going to be, two kinds of personalities around, the daivas, the divine people, and the asuric people. But under the reins of these powerful Vaishnav kings who were either pure devotees of Krishna or incarnations of Krishna himself, the asuric influences were kind of kept down. They were controlled. And human society was structured in such a way that those who were on the divine path were encouraged, protected, supported at the highest levels. So, I'll stop there. Does anybody have any question or comment? Yes, Bhrigupati Prabhu.
You mentioned that Krishna gives the living entity the human body so that they could try to understand him, take up self-realization. And you're also mentioning in class how now there's a lot of asuras who are at the positions of leadership. And so you also mentioned right at the end there about how if we became very sincere, we could become like a very significant, prominent social force within the world. But say we're not able to pull that off, and we're just kind of keep going along the lines that we're doing now. And these people who've received the human body from Krishna for self-realization, they're being influenced by these demoniac or asuric leaders, political, social, etc., like that. So they won't get the opportunity to become Krishna conscious. So it would seem as if they were just innocent victims. They got the body, they get the human body from Krishna to take up self-realization, but they really don't get the chance because they're being blocked by these asuras and these, demons. And we're not able to, we don't become strong enough to counteract that.
Yes, that is to some extent true, but Srila Prabhupada sometimes would say people get the leaders they deserve also. He would say both things, that yes, people are being, they aren't leaders, they're misleaders because they're leading people in the wrong direction. By that, you know, he meant, you know, political leaders like who are encouraging, you know, sinful activities, not trying to regulate them. You know, because even in Vedic society, there's some allowance for sinful activities. They're controlled and regulated in such a way as to gradually elevate people. But in human society today, you know, the sinful activities are being greatly encouraged. You know, meat eating, gambling, intoxication, illicit sex, they're being heavily promoted, encouraged. They're not being, there's very little attempts to control these things. They're expanding daily. And the intellectual leaders of society are promoting ideas that also encourage people to adopt very materialistic goals. You know, they're saying, yes, life is just a combination of chemicals, you're just evolved apes, you're you know, so society is in fact structured that way, and Srila Prabhupada therefore wanted, you know, Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, the principles of Srimad Bhagavatam. You know, he explains in his preface to Srimad Bhagavatam that he says he this Srimad Bhagavatam should be introduced in the schools and colleges. You know, he's also hoping that his presentation of Srimad Bhagavatam, he's hoping for its good reception by the thinkers and leaders of human society, you know, because it is, to quote the Bhagavatam itself, a transcendental creation meant for bringing about a revolution in the impious life of a misdirected civilization. So therefore, he wanted this knowledge to be spread to the intellectual and political and cultural leaders of human society, because, as you say, they have you know, a big responsibility. You know, yad yad atrati shrestas tad tad avartara jana yat pramanam sakrute locus tad anavartate. It's a principle stated in the Bhagavad Gita itself. Whatever, you know, the great people do, whatever the cultural, intellectual and political leaders of human society do, you know, the common people follow in their path. You know, if Michael Jackson moonwalks, everybody wants to moonwalk. You know, so, yeah, but if they, you know, if, you know, the leaders like that were chanting Hare Krishna, then of course people would be inspired. You know, they'd follow in their path. So, but the on the other side of the coin, you know, Srila Prabhupada said the people get the kind of leaders they deserve. You know, we're living in a democratic society and people elect, you know, their leaders. So from another point of view, he said we should spread Krishna consciousness widely among the masses of people, because then they will gradually become educated enough to choose or elect, you know, the proper kinds of leaders. So both things should go on. You know, it's not either one or the other. You know, Krishna consciousness should be spread among the masses of people so that eventually they'll learn to recognize who the proper leaders of human society should be. And this should also be spread among the, you know, the intellectual, political, and cultural leaders, with the hope that they'll be able to give better guidance to the people, so we can do both things. Arjuna?
Thank you, Prabhu, for a wonderful class and very nice answer to Bhrigu's question, because Prabhupada said both things in motion. He set the tendency, like Ramai Swami was saying yesterday, Prabhupada always asked, give me meetings with the big leaders of your society. You know, he wanted to meet all the ministers and all that. And at the same time, he pushed the Sankirtan movement to distribute on the street level. So both things have to go on. I just wanted to give a sample of this, the latter, that we're not really aware of what's happening out in society many times. We're only like, 40 years into it, 43 years into it, considering that the explosion started with Prabhupada coming here in 66, 65. So I got a couple of phone calls recently. I wrote them up in this month's newsletter. I'll just share one with you. This woman is in Idaho. And she went to see a run-of-the-mill garden variety healer, not that the healer was a devotee, and the healer just happened to have a copy of Coming Back, and she was attracted to the book. So she borrowed it from that healer, took it to her home, and her 3-year-old daughter immediately said, that little girl on the cover is me, that little child. She said, that's me. And she's not even able to read, little boy, but she thought it was a little girl. She said, that's me. And she's not even able to read, but every day she insists that her mother reads to her from this book. So the mother became very much attracted to the book. She went to a used bookstore, and she bought Science of Self-Realization and Dharma, the Way of Transcendence. But some of them are very attached to this book, Coming Back. So she called up to get a catalog. She wants to order more books. She likes that poster in the book, the picture in the book of the cycle of birth and death. She wants a poster of that. So like that, people are becoming Krishna conscious without us knowing it. She's never been to a center. She doesn't even know where the nearest one is. But she's very much attached to reading Prabhupada's books already. And the child now is becoming totally indoctrinated in Krishna philosophy. So like that, this is how it spreads on a grassroots level. And then before you know it, one day, people will be demanding no more corrupt and materialistic leaders. They want Krishna conscious leaders. That's how it happened.
Very good. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.